when's it going to be my turn?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
When is it going to be my turn? You know what I'm saying? So let's set the stage. Thursday night, right? Mm. March Madness. MSU versus Kansas State. It's a crazy game. Me and my girlfriend are watching it at this one pub type place eating food. And we want to catch the end of it, but we still want to head home because we don't want to be in the pub anymore. Mm-hmm. So we're racing home to try to get there. We get home. I park in my handicapped spot like I usually fucking do.
Exactly.
Because I'm handicapped, right? Forgot to put my placard up in my rush because it's such an intense game, you know, overtime.
You got to see it.
What can I say? I got to see what's going on.
Exactly.
We ended up losing. Great game anyway. But the next day, we go out to do our Friday activity things. Mm-hmm. I get a ticket on my car for not displaying my placard. Whenever I don't display my placard, when I'm fucking driving, I usually have it on the shifter on my car.
Okay.
So you can still see it.
You can look in the window.
If you look in my car.
Right.
But anyway, they gave me a fucking ticket. This has happened before, but usually I get a warning because I have the placard and it's always in the car. But this time, no, they gave me a full on ticket. So I had to go to court.
Court?
Yeah.
Big guy going to court.
I went to the, police station or whatever the fuck I had to go to just to get it taken care of. But instead of going and just getting it done with the front desk person or whatever, like you usually do, she said, yeah, we're actually on lunch right now. So just go to the courtroom, go to the courtroom and talk to the magistrate.
Nice.
So I'm I'm like, what the fuck is a magistrate? Like, I just legit.
Bro, forgot what the word means.
I just forgot what the fucking word meant. I was like, oh, like grief carga?
Nice.
I was like, what the fuck? So I go there and I sit down and I get patted on. I go through security and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there just. And then this dude just starts grilling me about being handicapped.
Oh my God, what?
He just starts fucking grilling me. He's like, is this actually your placard?
Oh,
and I'm like,
yes,
it's my fucking placard. I wouldn't take this to the police station and just lie. I don't even know if it's perjury.
That's a microaggression, right?
That's what I'm saying. I walked in the courtroom and I already don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do because it's not like it's a judge and it's a courtroom. It's a real courtroom, but it's not a real courtroom.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, can I even approach the bench? Am I going to get tackled by the fucking bailiff or some shit if I do this? Like, what's going on? What can I do? What can I not do?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already nervous just because I'm there in general. And then he starts grilling me. He's like, so if I input this placard, if I ring this up, is it actually going to come back with your name? And I'm like, yes, motherfucker, for the fourth fucking time, yes. And it's 9 in the morning, and I don't want to be here. I don't want to be dealing with any of this shit, naturally. And then he goes, well, I find it kind of hard to believe because when the cops give these tickets, they look really hard inside the car for the placard. They look really hard for the- No, the fuck they don't. This has happened to me 7 fucking times.
Oh, my God.
There have been 2 times where... It was freshman year of college. There were 2 times where I had to go and get a ticket resolved for not displaying my placard. And I went to the police station, right? And they took a picture. The cop took a picture of the ticket on my windowsill, or not windowsill, under my wiper to prove that the ticket's there. And in view of the ticket, you can see my placard clearly displayed on the rear view mirror.
Oh, my God.
They don't fucking look at all. They don't fucking care. Ridiculous, bro. She was absolutely ridiculous. I was livid.
You will never know freedom.
I won't.
Oh my God. The big government, big state reaching into your life, controlling every aspect.
That's why it's ACAB for this guy. That's the only reason.
Absolutely. When are you going to be free?
That's what I'm saying.
You're just trying to live. You're just trying to park in an accessible area
so you can get
to your home.
Corny as fuck. And then I'm getting grilled for being handicapped. And then I'm getting grilled because cops are great at their job. Come on,
that's
brother.
Where you're. Was this on campus parking?
This was at Grand Valley.
Oh, well, that's parking, where their tuition dollars are going to.
Fuck Allendale.
Yeah, for
real.
I
think it was the actual Allendale cops though.
Oh,
tax and I'm
money.
Pretty sure I caught a stray.
Because
my girlfriend, her roommate was getting home at leaving for work at 6:30 in the morning, and she said that there were a bunch of cops walking around looking for something. And so I think I just caught a stray. I think the cop was just walking around looking for something or the group of cops were looking for something. And they're like, oh, fuck this guy, actually.
Yeah, they're trying to make ends meet. They got to hit their quotas by the end of the month that they say don't exist.
But they absolutely fucking do.
Yeah, that's tough for you, big dog.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you have to pay anything?
No, I got out of it.
Because they rung it up after asking you 4 times.
Exactly. So shout out that, I guess.
Yeah.
There must be justice, you know?
And this is a story that tells you, it's a cautionary tale for why we should have a small state.
Exactly.
In every single aspect.
This is a cautionary tale of big government overreach.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
This is big cop coming after me.
And therefore, that's why universal healthcare is a bad idea.
Facts.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Welcome back to Head in the Office, everybody. We got a big episode planned for
you.
We're gonna talk about TikTok.
We got a meta episode.
We're gonna talk about about parental rights and education and just all over the place. We're gonna talk a little bit about firing squads.
Yes, we are.
Maybe a sleeper pick of the news week, but it's coming at you. Before we get into the episode, though, I'm gonna remind you all, go become a patron. Like, if you want to have access to early episodes, if you want to be caught up on the news cycle as soon as we're covering the news. Every Sunday.
You don't want to be a victim of the only interesting things ever happen on Monday, Tuesday Club.
Exactly.
You don't want to be there.
Yeah, well, it's consistent. And it's a consistent phenomenon that needs to be studied. Monday, Tuesday news always pops off.
It's about, like, what is it? Every 2 weeks, there's a huge thing that happens on Monday, Tuesday that we just miss.
And we always end up covering it 8 days later.
And it never happens on the rare weeks that we fucking miss Sunday and have to record on Monday, Tuesday.
Exactly.
So, Descartes was wrong. I'm not a brain in a vat. I'm not creating this reality because if I did, I wouldn't be punished so often.
Yeah, I would not punish myself. Solipsism cannot be real. Otherwise, I would have made the Newsweek work for us.
God must be real because he's a punisher.
That's right.
Because he's not a deceiver.
So if you want to avoid all of that, you got to go become a patron. Check it out. Link is in the description. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. You already know everything that's in there. We say it every week, but if you're new around here,
everywhere.
If you're new around here, go in the description. It's all there for you. Become a part of the community.
And if you're new around here, why don't we sway you to stay around by listening to these 5-star reviews by 3 wonderful people?
Exactly. Look, I'm a big supporter of the marketplace of ideas.
That's right.
And if you look at our marketplace of ideas, we're doing pretty well.
It's better than everybody else's.
Hitto is just stars.
Hitto reviews popping
5
off.
Stars.
When is Apple going to put us on New and Noteworthy?
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, let's get to these 5-star reviews. We got 3 of them today.
You want to back forth? Hit a little bing bong.
We got it. You want to start? You want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll get it. No Other Podcast Compares by Volnick. As a big time feminist, I was just a bit skeptical of two guys as hosts, but Jeremy and Gage have never let me down. Mm. TikTok brought me here, but these absolute geniuses made me stay. I've radically changed my beliefs over the past few years, and as a newbie leftist, this is my favorite podcast. I can't recommend it enough. Currently a Wednesday weenie, but the Patreon is calling my name. Cheers. Please send help, heart from Nebraska.
Nice. And we never will let you down. Speaking of being let down, did you see Anna Kasparian's recent take on Twitter?
Oh my God. Bad. Yeah, I did. It's
really disappointing.
I can't remember exactly what it was. Something about, like, don't call me a person with a uterus.
She said using the term birthing person or pregnant person as a way to be more inclusive is somehow degrading to her as a woman, a cis woman.
Yeah.
She said the term's not inclusive if cis women hate it. And it was really disappointing to me because Anna Kasparian is known for her great takes. Uh-huh. She's a member of the Young Turks. She's debated people like Ben Shapiro before. She usually always has some pretty great takes on just about everything, economic matters, social issues, etc. And this was a pretty bad take that was kind of just, it was like transphobic adjacent. I know she isn't a transphobe, but it's like, be careful. You know?
It's like I get the take and I get the sentiment behind the take, right? But it's also an issue that exists on the fringes, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because people do use inclusive language, but it's not mainstream enough for you to be coming at it this hard.
Well, and she cited AOC and, like, some doctors using terms like that. And it's like, well, but if we're talking about medicine and legislation, we ought to be inclusive.
Because
terminology that isn't inclusive isn't precise.
Yeah.
Because if we're not including people that say we're talking about an abortion bill, right? Mm-hmm. Abortion ban or extensions for abortion. If we don't include people that do not identify as women yet still have the capacity to get pregnant, suddenly we're legislating people out of existence.
Yeah.
And so it's important to use very inclusive language there because it's more precise. But when, like, Anna Kasparian as an individual is talking to someone, no one calls her a birthing person.
Absolutely not.
And if they are, that is weird. But it's not happening.
It's like railing against inclusive terminology like this so hard implies that the people, like, using this inclusive terminology have enough power to try and get people to stop referring to women as women.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just not the case.
And it's also, of course, this idea that expanding language to be more inclusive and just being more inclusive of trans people in general somehow deducts from the freedoms or liberties or equality that cis women now experience that they've fought for throughout history. And that just isn't the case.
And like you said, it's especially weird to hyper-focus on medicine and the law, two things that have to be very specific. Mm-hmm. Like medicine, it's not about being inclusive when you use these terms. It's about being scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
It's about being medically accurate.
Yeah. So that was a bad take. Sorry for the little rant before we've even gotten to the news. But if you saw that take on Twitter, just know that we disagree. And I really am hoping deep down that it's just a one-off bad take and Anna's not going to start doing like a grift. Because that would break my heart.
I can't see her doing it. I know she had a she had a weird take about crime a couple months ago.
That's true. Maybe but she just has weird takes sometimes.
Every once in a while, you're bound to miss. Not us, though.
Well, I saw, who's the other guy in TYT? Hassan's uncle. Whoever that guy is.
Sink?
Yeah, something like that. He agreed. He agreed. So that was also a bad take. But, you know, maybe it's just one-off thing. Who knows? But just for all of you online people that saw that, I wanted to address it. Our next review, 5 stars on Apple. Quickly becoming my number one pod by Elo Nico. They say, like an unusual Dr. Frankenstein experiment, I've been listening to this pod on both Apple and Spotify for a while now.
Yo.
Decided to use my Apple time to finally give you guys the review that you deserve. Originally saw you guys on TikTok way back with the Viagra Tucker clip and have been hooked ever since. Having grown up trans between Simi Valley and Bakersville, home of Reagan conservatism and our eternal speaker Kevin McCarthy respectfully, it's actually really awesome to hear people of my age and political convictions dissect the news in an understandable and funny way, especially given some of the subject matter and how personal it can be to me. This parasocial relationship rocks.
Yes, it does.
Anyone who can spare a little bit shedding the Wednesday weenie title is worth it to keep entertaining and insightful independent media like this alive. That's right. When my paychecks for my new job start coming in, I can't wait to join the ranks of the savvy Sunday Sigmas as well. Thank you guys for doing what you're doing and keep it up. Little heart, Nicolina.
Let's go.
Thank you so much, Nicolina. It means a lot.
Again.
It means a lot.
Another model review.
Another banger.
Coming
another banger.
Out of here from Nicolina.
We got one more.
This review, My Fave White Boys.
Let's go.
By Lizzie Eliza.
I'm honored.
Shockingly, I found this pod because it was referenced in a study I used for my feminism essay. We're going to come back to that. And I've been listening ever since. As a lesbian in the South, y'all keep me from becoming fully depressed because of the current state of politics and our government. I'd let these guys hold my beer at a bar. High compliment. Also, what?
No
what,
chance.
I'm going to need you to follow up on this review.
No.
What study is citing us?
Okay, I'm going to, I'm not trying to discount this person's, I don't know, education career or anything. There's no fucking chance that we are referenced in a study of any kind.
And it's like, I don't know how to
no
find.
No way.
I don't know how to look that up if we were studying. I started, I Googled. I was like, okay, how do I find this? I Googled Head in the Office last night, and I scrolled too far down and just started returning porn links.
Was someone doing a study on, small podcasts or something? Small startups?
Were they doing a study on narratives and saw, one of our abortion TikToks and was like in the office on TikTok?
Well, because it says study, so I gotta assume that it's not just some student essay
or
that
maybe
you're referencing, right?
It's gotta be a
published thing.
Like an introduction. They mentioned accounts Head in the Office and yada 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 on TikTok.
There's no, okay.
It's blowing my mind.
This person's writing an essay on feminism. I'm gonna assume either late high school or you're in college, right? You're writing an essay on feminism. Maybe we got a teacher listening to the pod that brought us up in the class or a professor or something.
But she said a study though.
I find this hard to believe. You gotta be memeing, right? It's gotta be memeing.
I know somebody. Somebody months ago mentioned that they were using some of our talking points to help write their essays.
Yeah. And we said, cite us.
Oh, that's gas. That's fucking sick. Maybe they graduated, became famous.
That could have gotten published in the last 2 months.
Published a insane, groundbreaking, revolutionary study
on feminism.
On feminism and media narratives and cited Head in the Office.
There's just no chance. I find this so hard to believe. But if
I'm
you want
to
correct
follow
us.
Up on Instagram, Twitter, somewhere.
Send us a link.
Link us to something.
Where it
DM
says,
us on Patreon.
Johnson Cosmonopolis 2022.
Goodness.
Now, before we get into the news coverage for this week, for those of you that are massively online, we will be getting to the TikTok drama and congressional hearings and stuff. But the first thing I wanted to do was just talk about something that I'm glad is making a comeback. listener, I'll ask you real quick. What's the number one thing maybe you didn't expect to make a comeback, but you wanted to make a comeback in the year 2023, right? Think really hard.
Yeah.
What have you just been feeling like you've been missing out on?
Think really hard. Type your predictions in the comments below.
Like fascism, wealth inequality is on a rise in the United States. Things are getting continuously worse, right? So what's the one thing amidst all of those kind of societal factors pushed together? What did you really want to make a return? I know what you're thinking.
Kind of a comeback, amalgamation of all those things.
I know what you're thinking. It's child labor.
That's right, baby.
That's right. That's right. Child labor is making a return, and it's back with a vengeance. And we're starting in Arkansas. And I say starting because we got two states to talk about that are making a return to child labor. So I'm reading directly from the NPR, a headline, and it says, quote, Arkansas Governor Sanders signs a law that makes it easier to employ children.
Nice.
And here's what the bill does. The bill is called the Youth Hiring Act of 2023. So for those that don't know, federal guidelines mandate and some law, I can't remember what it's called, Youth Standards of Labor Act or something. The federal guidelines say that no one below 14 years old can be hired for a job, right?
Sounds reasonable.
That's the baseline that the federal government sets. But this bill in Arkansas, very simple, removes the requirement that workers under 16 have to obtain a work permit from the Department of Labor before working for two reasons. And I'm reading specifically from the legislation, okay? Nobody can say it's out of context. I'm reading from the bill.
The text of the bill.
I looked at the bill on Arkansas.gov or whatever. The first reason is, one, to, quote, restore decision-making to parents concerning their children. Kind of a central theme for the past two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Parental rights. And this episode as well. And then number two, to streamline the hiring process for children under 16 years of age.
Is this really a hiring process that needed to be streamlined? Guys, we are so concerned about the high levels of bureaucracy latent within the hiring process of children.
We got to get kids back in the workplace.
Kids, there's so much bureaucracy involved in kids who can't even drive yet being able to enter the workplace.
And the best thing here is that that's all the bill does. It removes this one requirement that they fill out some documents to make sure that they are of age and they're not violating any child labor laws, right? And an advocacy group that was noted in the NPR article that I read about this said that the work permit is a one-page form that exists solely to ensure that the state is not violating federal guidelines.
I bet it's literally something just like, okay, what's your social security number? What's your name? Do you consent to working this? Do you have reasonable ways, means of getting to work on time because you can't drive?
Well, yeah, and we already don't in this country have very substantial child labor laws, right?
Like
our standards for child labor laws passed in previous labor movements, they haven't really been updated compared to other countries. But at the very least, it's like you got to get a work permit, right? Like the state that you live in has to make sure, or at least for Arkansas, this is previously the case. The state had to make sure that you weren't below 14 to make sure that, you know, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, et cetera, aren't in the workplace. But that's going to be gone, or I think it is gone, because I think the bill was signed into law. Arkansas Republican Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that all child labor laws are still going to apply, obviously.
Of course.
That she, quote, believes protecting children is the most important thing, but this permit was an arbitrary burden on parents to get permission from the government for their child to get a job. That's it.
Folks,
like, that's
this
the story.
This is about getting big government out of family business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is about getting big government off of forcing your kid to do labor.
This is about getting... Exactly. It's get big government out of your child's ability and latent within them just a necessity to work and to provide.
And like their position here, obviously, as we talked about last episode, is in line with what they believe for education policy, right? Like parents should be able to control every single aspect of their child's life, not only how they identify, what they learn about a school, et cetera, but also if they're working or not, apparently.
Yeah.
The parents should be able to decide all of that.
And it's also, this even kind of aligns, like, based off what you said about, like, you just wanting to abolish education, wanting to get the government literally out of anything and have just parents give complete and 100% control and, by extension, ownership of their children. It's like another story this week that we don't have like a detailed segment on, but Lauren Boebert proposed that we need to just dissolve the federal Department of Education.
I saw that, yeah.
they just want to be able to do whatever to their kids.
Right.
And that's it.
And right, like what's the practical impact of that? Is that if you can afford it, you send your kid to a private school that teaches them everything in line with what you believe, a sort of indoctrination scheme. Mm-hmm. And those that can't afford to go to school don't get to.
Work.
They just have to work for their entire lives.
If they're in Arkansas, they just go and work once
child
they turn
labor
14.
Laws are just rolled back.
And then because they can't go to school, they're going to lobby legislators and be like, well, I mean, my kid's just fucking sitting around doing nothing. We might as well send him to the meatpacking plant.
Right. It's either work or you can join the higher echelons of society if your family can afford it. If you were born into a good spawn point, but if not, you get to go labor.
If not, you can go work at Kogel's and pack hot dogs.
Yeah. And the more insidious part of this for Arkansas and for any other state that's rolling back child labor regulations is that since 2015, child labor law violations have actually been increasing.
Yeah.
So removing a permitting system only makes it harder to know where these violations are. Mm-hmm. It's things like making kids or making, you know, teens that are 14 to 15, 16, making them work longer hours than they're supposed to. Yeah. It's hiring people that don't actually meet the 14 age threshold. It's similar things like that. It's harder to find where these child labor law violations are if you don't have any regulatory method in place at the state.
Because how are they going to know that kids work at that workplace? workplace, and that workplace may need to be monitored if a complaint comes through, if they can just be hired.
Right.
And that there's not a form. The form exists to protect children.
Exactly.
Not to be an additional layer of bureaucracy.
Well, yeah, and that, like, there's no way in Arkansas now to check if someone under 14 is working.
Yeah.
If you have a 12-year-old that you're not able to tell is 12, 13, 14, or whatever, because a lot of people can't just look at someone
kids
and guess
age. Kids
eat free
under 10, you know what I'm saying? I'm going in there at 11.
Like, if you have someone that you're considering hiring that is telling you they're 14, they have documents to say they're 14, maybe they were forged or something like that, and they don't have to check through the state, there's no way of you knowing.
Oh, absolutely.
And that puts
not.
Your business at risk.
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to know? This is only a bad thing.
As new small business owners, we know all about business risk.
Like this one, you're telling me that this one minor regulation to ensure that 12-year-olds aren't working is this massive hurdle for families, for kids trying to get a job at say 14? Like, come on. Like it's a one page document. The very obvious intent here is to get more kids in the workplace to fill labor gaps in the market. Like that's it.
It's fucking insane. Yeah. Also, when these are supposed to be entry-level jobs, then these are supposed to be jobs that high schoolers pick, right? Because that's what they're talking about when we get into broader discussions of labor, like your McDonald's. Then why are McDonald's open during school hours?
Yeah.
Well, if we abolish the Federal Department of Education and abolish public schools, then it opens the door for them to go work. And it's also crazy because the little child labor protections that we do have in this country largely just go unenforced.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much everyone I knew that worked during high school had a child labor law violation given to them.
Oh, yeah.
They had to work past the time that minors are allowed to work at. Mm-hmm. They had to work more hours than they were allowed to work at. It happened to my girlfriend when she was working at a big franchise. They just scheduled her for more hours than they were legally allowed to.
Yeah.
And that's an extension of just labor laws in general not being enforced.
Yeah, and a lot of the big problem here is that a lot of it is state by state right now, right? Because there hasn't been an update for federal child labor law guidelines in a while, to my knowledge. So a lot of this is state by state enforcement. And some states can just pay people that are under 18, like half the minimum wage. Like they're just allowed to do
Which
that.
Which is why.
Yeah, exactly. And again, these things are only so powerful insofar as you can actually enforce them. And if you're, say, a 15-year-old that is working legally, but you're getting paid under minimum wage for all of your time there, how do you enforce that, right? Like, you can't go get a lawyer.
What are you going to... Exactly.
And it's likely if you're 15 working at a job, your parents probably can't afford to get you a lawyer to sue the place to get your lost wages back. And at that point, it's just a sunk cost.
Yeah.
Like why? You might as well just move on.
You just gave your life to McDonald's.
Again, as we always say, there is no justice in the system. Like, there's no way for regular people to enforce these laws because you need a state that's willing to do it. Someone who operates outside the profit motive. And in Arkansas, they're clearly not willing to. Moving on to Iowa, though, and I think a bit more of an egregious example of rolling back regulations for child labor. In Iowa currently, this bill has not passed yet, but there's various versions that we'll talk about. There's currently a list of jobs that people aged 14 to 17 are not allowed to do, right? There's just a certain list that they just can't be employed
Makes
for.
Sense.
Things like being a chef, certain forms of clerical work, things like that may be deemed too much or too dangerous for
it's
people
almost
14
intuitive.
To 17. Right, exactly. Now, there's, again, multiple versions of this bill floating around, but the most egregious one I found did the following things. It extended the hours that children could work.
Nice.
I don't know what the hours were but and what they'd be extended to, but it was generally trying to extend them. It allowed 16 and 17-year-olds to serve alcohol with parent permission. And it loosened the list of prohibited jobs starting at 14, so teens could work in meatpacking facilities.
God damn, bro.
And that was the stated intent, was to get them in meatpacking facilities.
14-year-olds, wasn't there an incident, I can't remember exactly what state, a couple months ago, I think it was last year, where they found out that children were actually working in a meatpacking facility in the U.S.?
Yeah.
I guess they saw that and they're like, oh, that's actually cool.
And I think construction was in there too. They want 14 to 17-year-olds to work construction.
There's
jobs.
No way.
Which is like, yeah, that's crazy, right?
There's and no way.
So the meatpacking part got a lot of pushback. So that might be out of the bill's current version, wherever it is in the Iowa state legislature. But
God
another
damn
provision.
It, big labor just getting in the way, you know what I mean?
So annoying. Another provision that is still in the bill allowed an exception for any of the prohibited jobs if it's done through a school program or an employer-based learning program.
Oh, dope. Sorry, guys, I actually can't meet up after school. My PE credit this semester is the mine.
Yeah, exactly.
My food and nutrition credit is the meatpacking facility. So
sorry,
I have to go to Kogel's after school to get that done.
Yeah, guys, I'm not going to be able to attend social studies today. I got to go to the oil refinery.
My homework for foods and nutrition is actually to go pack hot dogs.
Yeah. Like, that's nuts. Like, this is real. Like, this is what the Iowa Republican Party is doing.
No, it's cool. I'm getting paid for it, too. I'm getting paid and getting school credit. It's sick.
Uh-huh. Now, here's the broader critique, of course, of this kind of thing. It's like, obviously, the gut reaction, if you're listening to this podcast, probably on the left, is that children shouldn't be working, right? And, like, that's a decent answer.
Yeah.
But the Republican or right-wing response to that is always going to be, well, what if they want to, or they should develop a work ethic, or, you know, children should start working so they can get an idea for how they need to work later on. Like, that's always the argument that they want to put forward, right? So the better question, I think, is that, what kind of conditions are children living under that pushes them towards working at, say, 14 years old? Or the broader question, should children really be working at all? Do we want to build a societal structure where children need to work starting at 14 and then base their entire existence around the type of work that they're going to do?
It's like, I personally, like, anything under 16 seems kind of foul. Anything under their ability to, like, get themselves to work seems a little sussy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like why? We shouldn't live in a society where kids have to work to be able to help support their family.
Mm-hmm.
That should be off the table. Unfortunately, it isn't right now. We should live in a society where if someone under 18 wants to work, they're just working because they want extra spending money.
Yeah.
And
that should be the only, like, I get the idea of wanting to have some amount of financial freedom, money to spend on your own that you don't have to ask your parents for.
I worked. I had 3 jobs in high school.
Right. Like, if we're just accepting capitalist framework for the economy, like, I understand the want to be able to do that, to have some amount of financial freedom. But what kind of society do we want to build where we're telling kids you need to start working early so you can know what it's going to be like when you grow up?
Yeah.
Like, is that not a form of social control? Are we not building a society that's fundamentally predicated on controlling masses of people starting as children?
Yeah.
And the argument that we always get, I guess, in favor of child labor now is from the right, the people who always want to talk about freedom, being able to do whatever you want. But if we're pushing kids into a life of working so early on, what are we doing? This is clearly social control.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can see it as really anything else.
And why 14? Why do they have to start so young?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with getting a summer job when you're 16 to enter the workforce, to ease into, like, getting into a work schedule. Nothing wrong with that. That's completely fine. But 14?
Right.
At a meatpacking facility.
Right.
You're not getting them work experience. You're pushing them, you're boxing them into a job, menial labor for nothing, pennies on the dollar, really,
right,
for the rest of their life.
Well, and the sponsors of these bills literally told us that the reason they are supporting bills like this is because they want to fill gaps in the labor market. They're saying the labor market is tight, so we need to get more people in there. And the more people, the people they're getting in there to fill those holes are kids.
And it's so funny because the reason there is the gap in that labor market right now is because people are finally understanding that they don't want to do these shitty fucking jobs,
right,
like packing hot dogs.
Exactly.
Working in a meatpacking facility for $7.25 an hour.
Under horrible conditions.
Under horrible conditions. Under unsafe physical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to get ignorant kids who don't know any better to do these things.
And that's the really insidious part, is that if you are, say, a 30-year-old that works construction, or you're working in meatpacking facilities or whatever, you kind of have an idea of different jobs you've probably worked.
Yeah.
You have an idea of what you deserve, especially in a time since 2020, since the labor pool's gotten a little bit more power compared to the bosses. You kind of have a feeling for that. You have a feeling that, you know, maybe I deserve a little bit more. Given the context of our economy right now. But getting kids into the marketplace, getting kids into the labor pool, they're not going to be able to know how to advocate for themselves.
No.
They don't know how to push back against an authority figure that is telling them to do something, especially since their entire existence is based on what their parents tell them to do, what their teachers tell them to do, et cetera. And so the more sinister part for me, the more malicious part, is that children are easier to control in the workforce.
Can a minor even join a union?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like they wouldn't be able to.
Right.
I don't know anything. Like, I'm just guessing, but I feel like a minor wouldn't be able to join a union.
And that's just creating, like, a second class citizenship almost within the workforce, or a second class population within the workforce.
And it's also
disenfranchised.
You can pay a kid less. You can pay a kid.
Yes.
When I was in high school and making $9.25 an hour, I thought I was balling.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm worried about graduating and have bills to pay, I'm like, $9.25 isn't going to cut it.
Well, it's that, and it's also in states like Michigan, and I'm sure other states as well, you can dedicate the first 90 days of someone under 18's work experience to be training, and you can pay them half of the minimum wage for that amount of time. And again, if they extend past that 90 days, the only enforcement mechanism for paying someone their full amount of wages is to sue them. Kids don't know how to sue somebody.
Is a kid going to call up the local lawyer and be like,
exactly,
hey, can you take this case pro bono because I only make $4 an hour?
Right, right. Your ability to protect yourself against potential violations in the workplace is directly correlated to how much access you have to material resources. And for kids that are working, it's probably not very much.
Especially when they got homework.
Right. Right. It's not a fair system at all. And it's just, it's crazy to see that this is happening. This is where we're kind of going. And this sort of, people that support this sort of deregulation usually sell it along with some line like, teens need to get labor experience before they get into the workplace, mm-hmm. right? And my general question is, like, why?
14 is also barely a teen.
Yeah, and it's just like, we live in a time of material abundance. Why is it that we have to, again, create a system where teens need to get work experience? Why?
Exactly.
Like, they can wait a few, they can be kids until they get into the workforce. Like, I think that's fine.
Absolutely. That should be how it is. Yeah. It's like, when I was a lifeguard in high school, what real experience did that give me?
Right.
It's gonna do nothing for me later in life. In 2 months when I need to go get a job with my mm-hmm. degree, when I become a biochemist, I'm not gonna look back on my time as a lifeguard or a caterer or a porter at a car dealership and think, wow, that really set me up to do well in this lab right. environment. Right. It doesn't matter.
Well, and my Marxist take would be that they wanna get kids into the workforce now to teach them to be obedient to authorities yeah. within the workplace so that when they're growing up, they don't really push back against them. But my other Marxist critique would be that the kind of internal contradictions you're creating with the distribution of wealth being so incredibly unequal and also kids just being exposed to authority figures so early is actually going to make them rebel against the system mm-hmm. because they don't like being controlled, because nobody likes being controlled.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
It's fucking, crazy. It's also just goofy because you think about, like, you ever see those TikToks where it's like, I don't know, a 20-year-old fresh out of college and they're like, oh my God, my work bestie is like a 50-year-old yeah. like woman and we gossip all the time. Imagine you being 50 in a workplace. You're at your meatpacking facility that you've been working at just like for the last 20 years, right? And then a 14-year-old is just stationed next to you.
Yeah.
How yeah. dystopian is that thought?
That's crazy.
It's just, it's nuts.
It's a workplace hazard, low-key.
Literally. Like, and also, I wouldn't want to be around a bunch of 14-year-olds at work. I don't even like being around college freshmen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, we're just creating that underclass that's going to labor for everyone. And now that includes children.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, to wrap it up, it's a moral stain in our country that we'd even consider putting kids at the forefront to plug holes in the labor market. Like, offer to pay people more. Maybe that's the way you plug the holes.
From the party that talks so much about wanting to protect
kids.
Insane.
Protect kids just means get them into the coal mines.
Yeah, protect kids only from being gay.
Yeah.
Not from physical dangers associated with coal mines, with black lung, mm-hmm. or the harm in meatpacking facilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not great.
But at
I think
all.
we should move on to the hearings on TikTok, because that's been one of the biggest pieces of news.
Something
this
that
week.
Impacts us.
Who knows if this will matter at all next week by the time this episode even comes out? Maybe True. People were forgotten. But we're gonna cover it anyway, because I think it's fun. And because, like you said, it directly impacts us as a small business that has
right.
made our name on TikTok.
So true.
All of you are probably here from seeing our TikToks.
All of you except like three people.
Yeah, some of you maybe found our Instagram reels, which might be where we're located next. If this doesn't go our way.
We might start living on reels and YouTube shorts.
That's right, that's right. So near the end of last week, I think it was Thursday, CEO of TikTok, and I'm about to butcher this name, Shuji Chu.
I think it's that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll say I got it right. The CEO of TikTok, he was called in to testify amidst concerns that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, which is a Chinese-based company, shared American information with the CCP, that being the Chinese Communist Party. Now, the testimony lasted about 5 hours, which is pretty normal for testimonies yeah. as far as those go, on Thursday, and Chu reportedly denied that TikTok sends any data to the CCP, and he said repeatedly that he's planning to store all U.S. TikTok data on U.S. soil to avoid any concerns about data being sent over to China, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was kind of
sent directly from TikTok to ByteDance to China,
right?
Because
right.
they don't care if the we'll get into it later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, of course, every answer that you offered was met with "I find that hard to believe," or "I just don't believe you," or "That's not yeah. true," rather than offering actual evidence to contradict his claims. And these hearings are probably going to result in some kind of bill to ban TikTok. Well, actually, it's going to result in at least a bill. I don't know if that bill is going to pass all the way, but there's going to be a bill.
I don't know if it'll pass the Senate or whatever, right. but something's going to happen.
Now, a lot of memorable moments came out of this hearing that I want to go over with you all. We got a couple of clips.
Yeah.
We'll play them and we'll discuss. So let me see if I can get this first one queued up. See if this will play.
It's so good. It's
that
just,
we collect.
Oh.
The only face data that you will get that we collect is when you use the filters to have, say, sunglasses on your face. We need to know where your eyes are.
And why do you need to know what the eyes are if you're not seeing if they're dilated?
And that data is stored on your local device and deleted after use if you use it for facial. Again, we do not collect body, face, or voice data to identify our users.
I find that hard to believe. It's our understanding that they're looking at the eyes. How do you determine what age they are then?
We rely on age gating as our key age assurance.
Age
gating, which is when you ask the user what age they are. We have also developed some tools where we look at their public profile to go through the videos that they post to see whether...
Well, that's creepy. Tell me more about that.
It's public. So if you post a video, that's, you choose that video to go public, that's how you get people to see your video. The only face...
Then it plays copyrighted music that I won't play. But that was the first clip we had. The first voice you heard was the CEO of TikTok. The second yep. voice was Representative Buddy Carter, Republican.
Of course,
I don't know
he
where
would
from.
Be named Buddy Carter.
But yeah, he was just really serious. You lose some of the effect with not having the visual to watch, but bro yeah. was perturbed.
Oh, yeah.
He was not happy about it. But that's kind of the sense that we got out of Congress. They're kind of incompetent.
So like, generally, they found the most tech illiterate people
yeah.
to do these hearings.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think I said this when we covered the Facebook hearings a while ago. I think these hearings are wholly just fucking nothing.
Oh, they're dumb.
They are just political theater. They don't do anything. They don't accomplish anything. They're a waste of fucking time.
Well,
unless you're goofs like us.
Speaking of being just a waste of time, here's the next yeah. one.
Does TikTok access the home Wi-Fi network?
Only if the user turns on the Wi-Fi. I'm sorry, I may not understand the...
So if I have a TikTok app on my phone and my phone is on my home Wi-Fi network, does TikTok access that network?
It will have to access the network to get connections to the internet, if that's the question.
Is it possible then that it could access other devices on that home Wi-Fi network?
Congressman, we do not do anything that is beyond any industry norms. I believe the answer to your question is no. It could be technical. Let me get back to you.
Yes, I mean, just asking, like, does TikTok use Wi-Fi?
Is TikTok like HAL 9000 from 2001 A Space Odyssey? And will it connect to other devices in my home to have them rebel against me and eventually try and kill me?
Mr. Chu, if I put gasoline in my car, is the car going to use that gasoline? Mr. Chu, if I plug my TV into the wall, is my electric bill going to go up? It's just like, come on, bro. Like, just a fundamental misunderstanding of how, like, anything works.
I don't know
why
if you have this
here?
Clip in there, but there was another clip that I saw where he just kept asking, why haven't you changed the source code?
Yeah.
Why haven't yeah. you changed the source code? I don't think he knows what that means. They yeah. don't know what any of these words mean.
Here's the next one that I think is a real banger.
Okay.
That kind of goes along with the theme of parents this episode.
What you think would be the appropriate age to have a child get on TikTok?
Our approach is to give differentiated experiences for different age groups and let the parents have these conversations with their children to decide what's best for their family.
So you think that there is a sufficient safety mechanism for an 8-year-old to be able to access TikTok?
An 8-year-old's experience on TikTok will be so highly restricted that every single piece of content he or she will see will be vetted by Common Sense, our third-party child safety expert, and the 8-year-old will not be able to post. And the ADL will not be able to see any personalized feed and zero advertising in that experience. So I believe, yes, it is the appropriate experience for an ADL.
Well, then why don't you let your 8-year-old child on TikTok?
Like, what? How is that relevant at
it's
all?
It's like, how do you know?
And well, he goes on to explain that, like, his 8-year-old doesn't live in the United States and there's different rules for social media in different countries.
Yeah.
So 8-year-olds can't access certain social media platforms, which, like, the U.S. just doesn't have regulations around this.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the U.S.'s fault. It's, like, your fault.
It's as the legislator who
but
forms these policies.
The thing that gets me about the parents thing is it's like, that's on you. Like, you should be the one controlling what your kid gets on if you care that much.
The internet cannot moderate itself to the extent that your child will never come across anything harmful if
right.
they have unfettered access to it.
Right.
Right? You as a parent need to go through the necessary steps to educate your child on what they can and can't do on the internet,
mm-hmm.
to maybe put physical blocks on what they can and can't do on the internet, which you probably should because
yeah.
the internet's a fucked up
yeah.
place, let me tell you. I had pretty much unfettered access, and that's why I do this.
Yeah, that's why we're on the podcast
why,
right now.
That's why I'm a podcaster.
It's like we talk about parental rights and that kind of thing. We'll talk about that more in this episode, but it's like one of the few things you could do is stop your kid from getting access to that kind of content.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like it's up to you. They're not going to get devices without you buying them.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, unless they're getting jobs in the mines and then buying their own iPhone. But like,
you can put a device, you can also just personally ban TikTok from your child's phone.
Yeah.
You can go through third party softwares and just not allow them to install the app
mm-hmm.
as the parent, a reasonable thing to do, especially if you have an 8-year-old child.
Yeah. And we'll get into this, but it's not like any of these people are actually interested in regulating harmful content that
no.
people see. They just don't like TikTok.
Because
like
it's Chinese.
Because China's scary. Because
yeah.
China's scary. Here's the last one.
You damn well know that you cannot protect the data and security of this committee or the 150 million users of your app because it is an extension of the CCP. And with that, I yield back.
Can I respond?
She thought that was a ball.
Chair?
No, we're going to move on.
you just cannot respond. Like, they just didn't let this dude talk.
The whole time, there was another one where she's like, yes or no question. This is a yes or no question. Just answer yes or no. And she's asking these incredibly nuanced things, right? I believe there's one time where they're talking about ByteDance, the parent company that owns TikTok. And Chu says something like, well, actually, the board of ByteDance, there are three Americans on the board. Like, things like that. Maybe ByteDance shares that with CCP. I don't really care. Probably. Whatever. Whatever. But just... this is just theater.
Yeah.
This is a do nothing hearing.
Well, yeah, again, they're not interested in any real regulation. Like, first of all, I'll just be ageist, right? Like, these people are so old. They have no interest. They have no business in trying to understand TikTok or any social media or really any invention that was invented post 9/11.
Yeah.
You should not be the ones handling this. You have no idea what you're talking about. Like, it's
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And there was Democrats that were acting this way. There were Republicans that were acting this way. They don't even know the terms they're bringing up. There are people that couldn't even say algorithm or GPS or anything like that.
They don't
know
what source code is.
Right. Like, they're just saying these words because they're playing a political
game.
They
still listen to the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the same thing happened when Congress got testimony from Mark Zuckerberg and Instagram. Remember the Finsta clip from, what was his name? Mark Blumenthal? Senator Blumenthal?
Yeah.
Whatever. He asked what a Finsta was, and everyone's like, dog, come on. Like, you're so old. You should not be the one doing this.
They made a second account. Why can they do this? Why can they post bad things on their Finsta?
Right.
Again, as a parent, you're the one that needs to go and make sure your child's not doing these things, because the internet can't do it for you.
Yeah, especially not TikTok, like a single social media company. Mm-hmm. Or the federal government could do it for you if you really regulated, but that's your job.
There's another clip that from that same that same senator or representative at the end there, where she pulled up a video from TikTok. We couldn't play the clip because it's like a video thing.
A visual,
And it's a TikTok of like an animation going through the mechanics of like a Glock.
Yeah.
Right? And the text said, me at the House chamber. What's the committee
on commerce or something like that.
Me at the House Committee on Commerce meeting on this date in 2023. Yeah.
Like, and that's like a meme format. Like, I've seen plenty of those.
It's a fucking meme. Yeah, obviously, like, you can't threaten the government, whatever. Right. But it's a fucking meme.
Mm-hmm.
But what got me was the video had like 450 likes.
Yeah.
That means it's got like 2,000 views. How the fuck did you find that video? There's no way that you were scrolling on TikTok or your staffers were scrolling on TikTok and they saw this and like, oh yeah, this is definitely going to get, it's definitely going to get this Chinese guy up there. It's Fed posting.
Maybe, it's either Fed posting or maybe TikTok's algorithm boosted it to people in the DC area. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, this is relevant to them. It's like,
because it's an algorithm,
There's no doubt in my mind that some staffer made this and just sent it to them. And they're like, we're going to use this to get them. Because they used it to say something like, well, how come you didn't ban this?
Yeah.
As if he personally goes through and bans all this content. There were other representatives that just routinely asked, like, oh, this instance, this one specific video, why'd you ban this one but not this one? Why did this one get banned, not this? As if he personally does all of the content moderation for the fucking millions of videos on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane.
Now, my criticism here, I want to try to offer like a fully fleshed out take on this, right? I criticize TikTok for the same reasons that I would criticize Meta or Snapchat or Twitter or any other massive social media company that people utilize every day. I think the issues to each of them are basically the same, right? These platforms undeniably steal your data and sell it off to other companies as their business model. That's what they do.
Any platform that is free for you to use is collecting data on you so that they can sell it to other third-party sources.
Right, like a digital version of you is created based on the methods through which you interact with different content and different platforms or in different just like creators that you find on the app. And that's that kind of human image that is made of you and the digital universe is sold to advertisers, and suddenly your information is everywhere and you're seeing advertisements of things that you dreamed about and you get really confused as to why this happens. And it's because companies like TikTok and of course all the other social media companies operate through this business model. And I also stand by the point that social media is generally just bad for the human brain.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think our brains were wired to handle, I don't think we were made in the image of God to handle vaccine misinformation and then some scantily clad videos and then war in Ukraine back to back.
Just to parse through all of this information information and make sense of it all and try to find some sense of cohesion in it. We're not meant to do that, especially once you get into a platform like TikTok. Like, this isn't unique to TikTok. It's unique to short form content where it's just so uniquely brain rotting.
Yeah, no, it is bad. And I think social media generally is like that. But that's kind of where my critique of TikTok ends. It's the same as all other social media platforms. Yeah. And the problem that I really have with these hearings in this potential ban on TikTok is that I don't see how TikTok's doing it any worse than Meta or Twitter is.
No.
And I think that those companies aren't really treated with the same scrutiny that TikTok is. Like, they're not facing any potential bans or regulations or anything like that.
The same content that can be posted on TikTok is what will be posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then Instagram and Facebook are going and selling that data to Chinese companies.
Yeah.
And then that's getting back to the CCP. None of this is actually about data going to China. This is all about just finding a social media platform that we could, that has a closer proximity to China that we can get all this China bad rhetoric out on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, does ByteDance send data to the CCP? TikTok? Yeah, probably. Like, it probably does happen. But it's no different than the CCP creating like a shadow organization, a shadow corporation, and then just buying American data off another company. It's no different. And the real reason that I think that TikTok is being treated with such scrutiny and might face a potential ban is that, one, you know, China bad, Chinese people bad. That's, you know, China scary. That's the first point. And then two, TikTok is a really, really good competitor to Meta.
Yeah.
And Meta is putting millions, if not billions of dollars behind their lobbying campaign to get TikTok eliminated because TikTok is a real competitor for them and they do not like it.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok siphons away a lot of people because it's a good platform. Like, it's a pretty decent platform to use.
So,
like,
I fucks with TikTok.
Mechanically, I like it, right? I obviously don't like the bad parts about it. But generally, like, yeah, TikTok is a nice platform to use.
I'd rather spend my time on TikTok than Facebook. I don't even have a Facebook anymore.
Yeah. And, like, the faux argument they'll put up for social consumption is that, right, like, TikTok needs to be banned because CCP's scary. They're selling data to China, security concerns. But the real reason, I think, is to limit Meta's competition.
But TikTok is also an American company. They just have a Chinese parent company owned by them. They're headquartered in Los Angeles and like Singapore
or
some shit like that. We can pass laws limiting how companies handle your private data. We can pass laws making it so that they can't sell data to other companies, but we won't do that.
Yeah.
It's all a facade.
Right. And that's how you know it's all in bad faith, is because if they really cared about security concerns and the sale of Americans' data to other countries, we'd regulate every single company that collects data on us, whether it's Google or Apple or Meta or TikTok or any other company.
Yeah.
They would all face the same amount of regulation because we would want to protect our data. Other countries have done this for different social media apps, for different companies taking your data, but we don't do it because we're not actually interested in it.
We don't care. Because
TikTok represents a competitor to Facebook, or if it represents a competitor to Meta, and we just wanted to make it so Meta can profit regardless, profit without regulation.
Dope.
And it's just it's really dumb. It's really inconsistent too.
Uh-huh.
And the conspiracy part of my brain partially tells me, and I don't have data on this, but partially tells me that the ban on TikTok is sort of motivated by the fact that left-wing content can kind of grow on TikTok as well.
You think so? Like, I've seen that take a couple times.
Right-wing content proliferates on places like Facebook.
Yeah.
And nothing is done really to Facebook. Like, Facebook was called in about that sort of thing several months ago, maybe a year ago now. But the only thing that was really imposed on Facebook is that they have to be a bit more transparent with the federal government.
Yeah.
There are no new laws
Facebook
that were created.
Did a literal genocide and got away with it.
In Myanmar, And they face no prosecution. They're not being punished in any way. They were complicit in spreading tons of election misinformation, vaccine misinformation, and they weren't punished in any way.
No.
They're not held liable for what happens on their platform. And you can make a good argument that they should be, but those arguments that they are making towards TikTok just don't apply. Suddenly the safety and security concerns they have for children or for just American citizens do not apply when it comes to TikTok.
It also makes sense because the only time we ever really see social media companies get any pushback whatsoever is when left-wing things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like what happened with Twitter a couple months ago before Elon had fully taken it over.
Yeah.
When they were talking about probing Twitter for election misinformation that was actually the real information. When they were talking about how Twitter censored the Hunter Biden story.
Yeah.
Twitter did this, Twitter did that to help you think that the election was safe, but it actually wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time they ever look into anything like this.
Right. They're not consistent at all. They don't actually care.
Yeah.
They're just pursuing a political agenda. And the thing here that is really bothersome to me is that Democrats and Republicans seem to be on board with this sort of thing, mm-hmm. which gives me some fear that it's going to pass, at the very least, the House, and might pass the Senate as well, because they're just a bunch of old people that either believe the conspiracy theories that, like, you know, the CCP is going to take over because of TikTok, or they just know that they want to limit competition for Meta because Meta is a powerful force in American elections. Not only in their, like, direct lobbying, but also because they can basically control the flow of information on their various platforms. Yeah. And that's important for elections, as we know.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't like it. Man, I don't like it.
TikTok better not get banned before we hit 50K.
Well, yeah, especially because, and I mean, in all seriousness, TikTok is a really good platform for small creators like us.
It's a really good, like, marketing platform for small businesses. Like, right. a lot of, like, Etsy creators do their shit on TikTok. I found a lot of, like, cool small brands that I've bought things from because they made a cool video on TikTok, like, promoting themselves or cool shit on TikTok.
Yeah, like, and, like, Instagram's trying to do it with Reels. YouTube's trying to do
Reels
it with Shorts.
Reels fucking suck. But yeah, let's be real.
any of the equivalents being made by American companies are really bad.
Yeah.
TikTok's just got it down, and they have, what is it, 150 million American users right now? Uh-huh. Like, it's a popular app, and because it's really helpful for small creators to make a name for themselves, even if you're not in politics. Like, it's just nice to use.
Anyone can pop off on TikTok. Like, that's kind of how they get themselves popular. So anyone can have a video hit 50K.
It's probably why you're listening right now.
Literally.
It's just, it's not great. And, like, if it does get to Biden's desk, why wouldn't he sign it?
Like, I think he's, like, already pro it. He already signaled that he would or some shit.
Yeah, like, I think he said that that TikTok needs to sell... Or the CCP needs to sell any shares that it has in TikTok for Biden to, like, to not want to ban it. I don't know what's happened in that regard, but the thing here is, like, even if they do sell their shares, why wouldn't Biden sign that? Like, it's a dub for him from Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. The youth vote might not like it, but the youth vote has no choice but to vote for Joe Biden in 2024. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to vote for Donald Trump because of TikTok? Donald Trump would have banned it, too. He's been calling to ban it, too.
Like, Donald Trump has been calling to ban it for a while now, too.
They know that the youth vote has no choice but to choose Joe Biden or let it be Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or whoever. So, like, why not? Why wouldn't he?
So fucking corny. So corny.
Not great. If you see any of our clips on TikTok, comment Meatball Ron. Moving on to Meatball Ron, though.
Let's go.
Actually, a little bit later in this section, but we're talking about parental rights again. We talked about it last week as if to foreshadow what's happened this week.
Yeah.
Because we got bills coming up in the National Congress.
We got bills on bills on bills.
And an update in Florida that we got to talk about. So in Congress, House Republicans passed the Parents' Bill of Rights that at first glance appears sort of normal, and I'll explain why. But right now, in its current form, it just passed the House. It makes schools remind parents that they can review curriculum, meet with teachers, review school budgets, inspect library books, which has problems attached to it, and know if their students falling behind, that sort of thing, right? Seems like a very simple form of regulation for education in the United States. Seems like a typical Republican thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I say it appears normal is because relatively unobjectionable stuff, although you could read between the lines and, like, review books, where are you going with
review
that?
Review books, review curriculum, kind of, I can tell you just want to take gay people out of history.
Well, and that's where the more sinister part comes from, and I'm pulling directly from congress.gov.
Okay.
So it's the text of the bill. It says, quote, and this is like in the description, it says, quote, an elementary school or a school consisting of only grades 5 through 8 must obtain parental consent before 1, changing a minor child's gender markers, pronouns, or preferred name on school forms, or 2, allowing a child to change the child's sex-based accommodations. This is an out the kid bill. That's what this is.
Yeah, it's just a no trans kids bill.
Yeah, exactly. It is blatantly anti-LGBTQ. It forcibly outs children because if some kid that's, say, in 7th grade, 8th grade, say, goes by he, him, and is like, I want to go by she, her pronouns, they have to alert the parent, which, as we have said before, can result in an abusive situation if the parents are not open to it. Especially in places like Florida or just red states in general, where they're generally going to be opposed to this kind of thing. And Republicans will try to argue that these kinds of measures exist, like, in a vacuum, that alone these policies are fine. But of course, when you take the bill as a whole and you include the anti-LGBTQ stuff and you consider the current onslaught against access to books, the current attempt to, again, in multiple states, forcibly out kids, you recognize that this is just directly feeding into the anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ panic.
That's
really all it is. I don't know if this, I doubt this bill will pass the Senate, but it's a pretty clear indication of priorities in my mind. Mm-hmm. So not great.
Not great at all.
We don't like parental rights bills with that. Like that.
Mm-mm. Don't fuck with parental rights, let
not
me tell
all.
You.
Not at all. Moving on to Florida, though. We got to talk about Florida's parental rights bill,
Back to the not so great state.
You may recall it's called the Don't Say Gay Bill.
Yes.
We got to talk about that again. So you may recall that the Don't Say Gay bill outlawed instructing children on things like gender identity and sexual orientation from K through 3 or for any student when it's not, quote unquote, developmentally appropriate. Mm-hmm. And at the time when this bill was first being talked about and eventually it passed, we already noticed how there's major problems with this. It's super vague, has a chilling effect, basically mm-hmm. prohibits you from talking to kids about sexual orientation, gender identity, things that are real human experiences.
Yeah.
Things that children usually identify school as a safe place when they're thinking mm-hmm. about things like sexual orientation, that kind of thing. But in a new move from Ron DeSantis,
yes,
this law is being expanded to include K through 12.
Actually,
all of public school.
Crazy. It's like yeah. last week when we talked about, where was it, Kansas?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
their onslaught of like anti-LGBTQ legislation. I joked that Kansas was trying to one-up Florida mm-hmm. in being bad. And now, literally, it actually feels like Ron DeSantis saw Kansas make national headlines mm-hmm. with their bills and said, actually, I'm going to steal that. I can't let them one-up me. I'm going to have to make it all K through 12.
Yeah, and if this bill is expanded, it means that all teachers from kindergarten all the way through high school will be prohibited from talking with students in any context about gender identity or sexual orientation. And the kicker here is that he can do it entirely without the legislature.
That's
all
insane.
He needs is the Department of Education to approve of it, which they will, and then it will happen. And suddenly, teachers cannot talk about topics of gender identity and sexual orientation. Unambiguously, this is erasure. I don't know how you can perceive it as anything but state-enforced erasure of these groups. That's it.
I just don't understand. If you can't talk, how are kids supposed to? Kids go to school to learn.
Mm-hmm.
They go to school to learn about things. They go to school to learn about math, science, social studies, experiences that humans have had in the past and experiences that they will have in the future. And they go to school to find a place to sometimes discover themselves, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we've talked about studies before on this show about how there's a decent chunk of LGBTQ students that view school as their only safe space for their identity.
Especially when they have abusive parents.
Especially when they have abusive parents. And if they can't go to school and talk to counselors or teachers or staff or just people that they trust about the feelings that they're having, what are they supposed to do? Right. Mm-hmm. We exist in a heteronormative society, but we also acknowledge that, you know, being LGBTQ is a part of human experience for some people.
Yeah.
It's a thing that happens in society that we recognize. Why wouldn't we let them talk to people that they trust about it, adults that they trust about it? Doesn't make any sense.
Why would we slap a
fine onto the school or a felony onto a teacher that talks to kids about this kind of thing? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't even know how to comment on it anymore. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
What is there to do?
There's really no, I mean, again, unambiguously, it's an attempt at erasure because even if we're just talking about curriculum, right? We're talking about bringing up sexual orientation or gender identity of, say, historical figures or authors or whatever it may be. Because gay people, trans people, etc., have been marginalized throughout history, mm-hmm. you have to make an active attempt to include them in curriculum. Otherwise, you'll just gloss over it.
Yeah.
History, what's the common mantra? Like, history's written by the victors?
Uh-huh.
For almost all of Western civilization, it has been white, straight men that have dictated what history is going to be recorded. And if you don't make an active attempt to include a diverse set of people in the history that you're telling, you just won't do it.
Yeah.
And according to this Florida law, if you do it, because it's being expanded up through 12th grade, if you do it and you mention sexual orientation or gender identity as a means of celebrating these people, you're going to get in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And of course, on top of that, you know, gay teachers won't be able to have photos of their same-sex spouse. They won't be able to have pride flags, even like, you know, as a button on their shirt or in their classroom, or whatever it may be. Like, it's so insidious that the state is doing this. And they're the ones that always want to talk about freedom.
And it's also
and
just
diversity.
Even beyond erasure, which is gross enough, like we've already expressed, you're just handicapping educators in mm-hmm. what they can teach about, and you're handicapping students in developing critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
Like there are a bunch of queer readings for like old fairy tales, like The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of queer readings you can do that show that these stories are about people finding themselves sexually.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk about that.
Right.
You can't help kids learn how to analyze media through different lenses if you are just erasing whole subsets of human existence.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
And there was a provision in this expansion that Ron DeSantis has been talking about that said, like, oh, well, if it's a part of the curriculum, that's okay, but who determines that, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you go out of your way to mention certain civil rights leaders that were also LGBTQ activists that participated in, like, the Stonewall riots, for example, are you going to get in trouble? Because those are explicitly mm-hmm. to expand LGBTQ rights.
Yeah.
And to them, that's a sort of indoctrination, isn't it? Like, that's indoctrinating people into being gay, to tell them that they fought for their rights in the past. It's, or
it'll be like the Kansas bill that we talked about, where you can't mention if a figure was gay unless the thing that they did that was significant was explicitly because they were gay.
Yeah.
And again, that gets into fucky things like authors and queer readings of their stories, shit like that.
And it's almost like we called it when this bill was first being proposed. We knew that, like, okay, it says K through 3 as a means of selling it to the public, saying, like, well, of course you wouldn't talk to third graders and below about sexual orientation, et cetera. Why would you need to? But they included that vague language of developmentally appropriate.
Uh-huh.
And we said at that time, like, oh, well, this is just going to be used to apply to everybody.
And who determines what's developmentally appropriate?
Literally just applying it to everybody, right? Like, unambiguously just saying, like, yep, this is for everyone now. Everyone in the public education system in Florida, you just can't talk to them about this, despite them having feelings about it, despite them being a part of the groups that would identify with it.
It's so absurd, especially when you're talking about history, right? Because sometimes just existing as gay or existing as a member of the LGBTQ was just radical.
It was a crime,
and it was politically radical, and you just can't talk about that anymore.
There were states where it was a crime to, like, cross-dress. There was a crime. Yeah. There were sodomy laws on the books where it was a crime to, like, have sex with someone that you want to. Like, come on.
And when you erase that from historical figures who hid their identities, mm-hmm. you are further disrespecting them just beyond the grave. Yeah. You are further oppressing them despite them being dead. Mm-hmm. And you're continuing to oppress people that identify that same way who are alive today.
Exactly.
I don't even know how to describe it.
They're just coming up with new ways to package it. And that reminds me of the, did you hear about the anti-LGBTQ law from Uganda?
No.
So they set up some law, and I don't know the particulars, but they set up some law where it's basically just illegal to be gay.
Oh.
Like, it's just a crime.
Wow.
You just go to jail for it. And Michael Knowles did a clip on it where he was saying, oh, well, I wouldn't go that far, like, jailing that. That seems a bit extreme. But then he said, like, I'm sure there's plenty of legislators that want them to come run for office. And I was like, dog.
What?
You're just admitting that you want it to be illegal to be gay. Like, That's the end. That's the world they're trying to create. That's it. That's their goal.
That's crazy. Michael Knowles is just particularly bitter about gay people because he did that one short film in college where he was a gay guy and it was bad, and he's mm-hmm. a bad actor. And so he's just bitter about that role.
It's just crazy to me. Just a bad time out of Florida. If you live in Florida, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Especially good luck. I think now, though, it's time to shift our focus to a little bit of beyond parody again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about the death penalty for this one.
Nice.
Specifically, the story starts with one man, Gerald Pizzuto, who was convicted of two murders in 1985 and is set to be executed within the next couple of weeks.
Mm.
Usually when state-sponsored executions are carried out, it's with lethal injection. It's like common knowledge. I'm sure we all know that. But apparently in Idaho, and I guess generally in the country, there's been a shortage of the medication used for lethal injections.
Okay.
So they haven't been able to get them.
Probably because of Democrat woke policies.
Yeah. Instead of thinking, maybe we shouldn't just fucking kill people, they mm-hmm. decided, specifically the governor and the legislature of Idaho decided that they would rush through House Bill 186, mm-hmm. which now authorizes the use of firing squads for the execution of death row inmates when lethal injection isn't available. The state really wants to fucking kill
uh-huh.
this guy.
Uh-huh.
Firing squads?
Yeah.
In 2023?
And something else is making a comeback.
It's making a comeback. Modern problems require old solutions, I guess.
Child labor, firing squads making a comeback.
We're running back to the 1800s.
State-sponsored homophobia. Yeah, we're going back.
LGBTQ rights are going away. Mm-hmm. General rights are going away. Women's rights going away. Mm-hmm. We're going back to the 1800s. So crazy.
Like, uh-huh.
I don't think a society has ever regressed so far in 3 months than us.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on? And what makes this really beyond parody for me, besides just the firing squads being introduced in 2023 and the brutality of that in mm-hmm. of itself, like the aesthetic brutality of it, is that in the bill, the budget committee approved this. They set aside $750,000 for the state prison to refurbish itself to get the firing squad.
Oh my God, what do you need that
How
much
the
for?
Fuck does that cost $750,000?
Jesus Christ, man. We're going back to the Stone Ages.
And it's also like entertain my thoughts here.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you need to refurbish your facility to do a firing squad to execute somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just take them to the back?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you are already engaging in such
as if refurbishing is more ethical.
Exactly. As if it's more ethical for them to be in a clean environment, a clean, sterile environment, to get mm-hmm. fucking shot. Because there's another bit I have in here. Where do you think firing squads shoot? What do you think they aim for? No.
No?
No, they aim for the heart. Quote, it's for, quote, to avoid disfigurement.
Oh, okay. I guess.
But it's also like avoid disfigurement.
Yeah.
They're being shot by six people.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the heart. Like, it's just a fundamentally absurd act. There's nothing.
It's just brutal. Yeah.
There's nothing aesthetic about this. Mm-hmm. So why do you need to spend $750,000 to refurbish a facility to facilitate it?
Yeah. I don't know. That's taxpayer money, baby.
That's taxpayer money. And I also want to bring up just issues with the death penalty in general, because I feel like we have a lot of new listeners since we've talked about this. Okay. Immoral. When you're running out of drugs to kill people, maybe we shouldn't kill people.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what the shortage is caused by.
I don't know.
But also at the same time, yeah, like what's the reason we even employ the death penalty still? It doesn't stop crime from happening.
Barbaric. It's a relic. It's not a deterrent.
It's not a deterrent. We know this because we have statistics to back it up, but it's also just so backward looking. Like, you're not doing anything to stop them from committing. Well, I guess they won't do anything ever again. But it's not going to do anything to change the circumstances by which they committed a crime in the first place.
The crime has already been committed. Mm-hmm. The death penalty isn't about justice. It's about retribution. It's about revenge.
Yeah.
And we're going back and doing things in such an incredibly brutal way. But I want to talk about the lethal injection, too. Because the lethal injection was brought forth after electrocutions, firing squads, hangings, cyanide gas, shit like that, to be a more humane way to kill somebody.
Right.
And we kind of hide behind the aesthetics of that as if there's any humane way to fucking murder someone.
Right.
To execute someone. To justify the use of the death penalty in like the 13 states that still have it.
Yeah.
But the death penalty has a 7.1% fail rate. Fail as in not that it doesn't kill them. Fail as in they sit there and convulse for hours in pain before they die.
Yeah.
There have been people that have survived the lethal injection convulsing for hours in just wicked pain just to be given it again. Because like they're killing you. You've been set to be executed. There was one case in 1986 where a guy called Randy Wolves was sentenced to death by lethal injection, and he had to help the executioner find a suitable vein for the IV to be inserted into himself because the executioner couldn't do it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Nuts. Nuts. These aren't considered executions by lethal injection, aren't considered medical procedures just by using medical equipment. States permit doctors to be on site to help administer these things, but no medical organization allows it because executions are, say it with me, unethical.
Yeah.
they are just wholly unethical.
I just don't see any good reason why we do it. You know what I mean?
I don't either.
It doesn't do anything, again, to address societal conditions that encourage crime to happen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything different than just locking this person up for the rest of their life. They're not going to cause any more harm. Or, I mean, like, whatever they do in prison, I'm sure you can manage that somehow. We spend millions, billions of dollars on the prison industry in this country. I'm sure you can figure out a way to stop them from committing harm. It's just needless brutality.
There's nothing restorative about this.
Mm-mm. Well, and it's not supposed to be.
It's 40 years after the crime was committed.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
What possible, like...
Do you know what crime it was?
Not murder. Double homicide.
Okay.
So, pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'll admit,
bad thing.
Murder, bad. Mm-hmm. A hot take. But I still don't think that 40 years later, someone should be executed by the state in a retributive way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even just, like, zooming out, I feel like you shouldn't be comfortable with the state just killing people.
Absolutely
especially
not.
Especially with the death penalty, because there's at least a 1% chance, maybe a little less, that an innocent person will get sentenced to death row, and then they'll be killed by the state.
Honestly, probably more. There are innocent people that get killed by the state. There are innocent people that are sent to death row all the fucking time, and that alone should be reason enough to not do it.
Yeah.
Because if an innocent person is killed by the state, I would argue that that is worse than letting however many people who actually unequivocally did the crime just live out the rest of their life in prison, which is already like... Living out the rest of your life in prison is practically a death sentence anyway.
Right.
And there's a discussion to be had about that. But before we even get to that, we need to rework the framework of justice to become more restorative instead of retributive.
Well, and it also kind of just gives away the idea that our entire criminal justice system, with the existence of the death penalty, isn't for actually, you know, bringing people back into society. Restoring them to what they once were, maybe before they committed the crime, or rehabilitating them into like a model citizen or anything. Like, if you have the death penalty in place, it is purely to punish, because they can't ever do anything else ever again. Like, there's no chance at restoring themselves, at rehabilitating themselves. They're just gone.
They may never commit a crime again, but they also will never do anything remotely, marginally positive ever again.
Yeah.
And you did that.
Yeah.
Like,
And, like, of course, there's, as we've talked about before, there's broader systemic critiques that we can make of the criminal justice system. Like, it doesn't actually try to produce good benefits. It's solely just to punish people, mm-hmm. to get exact revenge through the state onto people. And it doesn't do anything to really address conditions. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's so dumb. No reason to have it.
And maybe putting my tinfoil hat back on just for a little bit. I feel like this might just be to get more money into the prison.
Yeah,
$750,000. You could call 6 Texans who open carry to come to Idaho and do this in the back of the prison for like $2,000.
Right, law and order, baby.
You know what I'm saying? 6 Texans who open carry who want to do something like this. Like, right. Come on. But instead, you're spending $750 because we need a nice facility. We need a new facility. We need a humane way to shoot somebody in the chest 30 fucking times.
It reminds me of how we'll spend, like, you know, however many billions on the Pentagon, just send them a bunch of money, and they have to find a way to use it all to keep up the quota so they can get the same amount next year, and they'll buy just like $6,000 chairs.
Or they'll spend $2,000 for screws.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly.
$2,000 screws individually.
They'll spend as much money as they can to present it to Congress the next year around and be like, well, we spent this much money. We need them. So at least that money.
We need it. Yeah. Yeah. Because if we don't, then that's a budget cut. So nobody likes that. We might have to cut a private's pay.
Yeah. Huh? I wonder what private company is going to get a chunk of that $750,000.
What contractor lobbied for this to happen?
Like, AT&T's got a presence in the prison industry with like communication devices. You've got, you know, whoever makes sheets and soap and bedding and that sort of thing. People who build the physical facilities, construction companies. Profit off
the
of
people
the
who are
going
to be refurbishing the prison to make the new firing squad facility or firing and squad area.
That's another major obstacle to ever drawing back the criminal justice system, because people make billions off of it. And it's a system that is wholly based on the restriction of freedom of individuals and sometimes the death of individuals as a means of making money. It is imprisonment for money. That's what it is.
And it's also crazy because why are we going, of all the ways that historically that the state has executed people, why are we going back to the firing squad?
Right.
Just what I feel like is the most aesthetically brutal way of executing somebody, when you could, hear me out, instead of having 6 people line up in a row to shoot someone with a hood over their head, wouldn't not even in the head, in the heart, so that you have to watch them die more, would it not be more humane to just shoot someone in the head?
Mm-hmm.
But it's they're not crazy. Thinking about what is more humane, what would be more quick, what would be more painless. They are thinking about what they could do to give themselves the more whole feeling of satisfaction for executing revenge on behalf of someone else.
Right.
It is about the brutality. It's what makes them satisfied as fucking sadists.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's no time for moral considerations here.
Yeah.
When we're talking about our prison system or punishments to be exact on other human beings, we're not talking about being moral.
No.
We're talking about what we can do to make them feel the most amount of pain, to make ourselves feel good. And that's pretty dangerous when you've got the power of the state backing that feeling.
Especially when the Idaho governor wrote a letter to the head of Congress explicitly talking about how much he believes in the death penalty.
Yeah.
This isn't for the victims of the family. This is for you and your fucked up fantasies about what is and isn't justice.
You're just your total control over life and death, as if you are God himself.
Exactly. Exactly.
Crazy. Crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Not in support of the death penalty here.
Not over
here. We don't
here.
Like the death penalty.
And speaking of gods themselves, I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
Excellent transition.
And it's time to talk about the patrons.
When I think of godhood or holiness or sanctimony, exactly. I'm thinking about
when
patrons.
I think of gods and I think about us naturally. I think about the holy army that's built up to spread the word of God, us.
That's right.
Of course. And I think of the cardinals in association with that happen to give us some money on Patreon. That give us our tithe.
I absolutely agree. You want to jump into this?
I will absolutely jump into this. We got a special thanks to Cricket Scrapbook Layouts, Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Postman, Chrissy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Duplinski, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Sarah McRoberts, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb,
every
fucking time, Caleb Joy, Jim Bob, Carl D, Ridge Toro, Tari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Ted Cruz's Boy Toy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Bread, Joe Stenstrom, Austin Reed, Arian Sandoval, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Timothy Espinoza, George Isn't My Name, Veryuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Eliza, Crawfishin',
Benneth Bennington III, Alexia Benanti, Nietzsche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Jeremy Kadrit, Ben Shapiro's boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Daniel Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Sines, Aaron and his Gundams, Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, and my mom. Thank you all so much for supporting the show on Patreon. We couldn't do it without you.
Giving your holy tithe.
Exactly.
Supporting us, spreading the word, spreading the gospel.
If you've all watched this far, quick shout out to one of our listeners, Neontari.
Have to.
Neontari made another Hito Out of Context video.
Yet again. This one's a banger.
We put it on Twitter. It's part two. We thought it was really funny.
So thank you
for doing that
for us. It's a good time. Thank you for spreading the holy word of Hito.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming to the Sunday sermon since you're on the lucky patron list.
Oh, and we got a goal set up for you guys coming soon.
We'll
probably post it like ASAP Rock.
Like right after this episode goes up, actually. So it's kind of like we're talking to you in real time.
Exactly.
It's kind of like you're hearing the holy word as it's spoken.
You're probably going to hear this in like 20 minutes after I'm speaking it right now. You know what I mean?
True.
If you listen right away, that is.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening to the episode. We'll see you next week.
Have a great one.